the Lord. It's good to be here with you tonight, this morning, I guess it is. I'm sorry. But I feel the hand of God here. I'm not a great big preacher, a well-known preacher, but I know the hand of God. And God has used us to touch and to heal people, and I feel His healing virtue of my hands. I'm not calling you up here to pray for you, but what I'm telling you, that I feel the need. And sister, my eyes have been on you. I know that you were ill. I don't know if you've got your touch. I don't know the cause or the reason, but I kind of feel I know the when. Amen. And we're here to minister. Amen. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister to you. We appreciate the hand of God. And I remember we were at a play at a camp meeting for Brother Baker. And they had a play, and the child was being tempted, and they had this great big old hand. And every time that they would stick it out through the curtain, the children would scream out, the hand of God. And if we could just see the hand of God reaching through the curtains of heaven down to touch us and to bless us, and that we could recognize the hand of God, amen, that He might be increased and we might decrease, amen, we would see God move like we've never seen Him move before. He could always kill giants. He just needed somebody to throw a stone. Folks, amen. I'm going to let my... I don't have... I'm tingling, folks. And I'm not one just to put on a show. But folks, by our ministry, we have laid our hands on the dead and they have been raised. We have laid our hands on the blind and they come out seeing. We've seen withered hands made whole. We have seen mental retardation reversed. I'm not telling you that we are anything, but He is God. He is God, and He'll do whatsoever we believe Him to do, and He'll do it. Not because it's right, but because He's God. Hallelujah. What we are doesn't matter. He is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to bring my son. Amen, Israel. This is in Elijah and Elisha. When Elisha was headed up to heaven, he said, if you see me go up, I'll give you a mantle. Amen. I just passed my 50th birthday, and I'm turning the mantle over. Amen. It's a secondhand mantle. But if he's going to experience God for himself, he's going to have a firsthand experience with God. Amen. Himself. Amen. My son Israel. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that mantle. Heritage. It's been passed down to me. I'm not going to hold you too long this morning. Hallelujah. What I can't do, He can do. What I cannot do, He can do. I don't need God to do natural things that I can do with my hands. I don't need God to do things that man can do. I need God to do things that only God can do. Hallelujah. And if there is a miracle worker in this universe today, it's not a man. It's not a woman, it's not a musician, it's not a preacher, but it's God. And it's God that span the stars with His fingers and measured the waters in the palm of His hand, and that looks upon the earth and sees the people as grasshoppers. It's this God that's in the midst of His people to heal and to deliver and to touch. Yet so often we sit in chains of doubt, and it seems as we walk through the desert. But can I tell you, it's just like Moses when he was on the backside of the desert. He had a visitation from God in a burning bush, and God used him, and God raised him up to do miracles. And I feel like this morning that there are some that have been on the backside of the desert. It seems like there's been a trial, but this morning I want to tell you that God's given you a visitation. God is given a revelation of His divine power and the virtue of the Holy Ghost. It's up to us this morning what we get out of it. My God, you can lead someone to water, but you can't make them drink. And you can lead someone to God, but you can't make them believe. Oh, but it's the Word of God that inspires. And I'm telling you, the same God that walked on water, that raised the dead, that healed the blinded eyes, He is that God that's in our midst and wants to touch you this morning. What will you do this morning? What will you do this morning with the touch of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. 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 It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to feel the touch of God. It's not enough just to sit there and glory in His presence. It's all you need is a need to be touched by God. Don't you know that God is moved with compassion? God is moved with love to meet your need this morning. Don't you think that God sits on the heavens and He's too busy running this universe and He's too busy listening to the cries of other people and He's forgotten where you're at? The same God that runs this universe, the same God that makes the day, makes the night, is the same God that hears your cry this morning. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but He is the physician for your position. If there's anybody that can doctor your need, if there's anybody that can meet you in your time of crisis, it is the Christ of the crisis. He can give you the touch that you so desperately need. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to preach to you. Oh God. Book of Luke. Chapter 24. Hallelujah. Luke 24:34. One verse, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord will help me just for a few minutes. I want to preach on God still wants you. God still wants you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You this morning, giving You glory and honor and praise for all that You have done. Hallelujah, for the anointing that we feel even now. I'm asking You to move by the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. Let every heart that is discouraged be encouraged. Oh God, oh God, lift the feeble hands. God, lift our heads this morning. Give us a fresh glimpse of the grace of God, which is sufficient for each and every one of us this day. We give You praise and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. God still wants you. It's always been God's plan to use a man. God is a great God. He is a miracle-working God, as it has already been attested to this morning. God is a God that can do all things by the power of His might. There is nothing that is too hard for God. There are no critics that can truly tear down the sovereignty of God. There are no weapons that are formed that can tear down the omnipotence of God. There is nothing that man can create or think of that can remove God off of His throne. There is no higher power for the believer today to go to than God. Yet God who sits in His might on His throne, and the God that sees you and me even now, and hears the words that we speak, and hears the cries of His people, the God who at the mention of the word created the universe, this same God that can do all things, always wants to use a man. It's ever been His plan. In the Old Testament, He raised up Moses as a deliverer. He raised up prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. He raised up great men of God that would boldly declare the message of the gospel to a lost and dying generation. They declared the works of God and His mighty power, His wonderful acts to the children of men. All of these men were dedicated individuals. They were men that prayed and that sought the face of God, that fasted. Ezekiel was a man so dedicated that when his wife died, God told him, "Do not weep. Do not shed tears for your wife." And Ezekiel, through his heartbreak and through his trial, obeyed the voice of the Lord and did as he was told. These were men like Daniel that was taken away from his home, from his mother, from his father, and taken into exile, and yet stood faithful and true to the plan of God. These were men that were dedicated individuals. In the New Testament, when Christ came on the scene, God was using John the Baptist as a proclaimer of the soon coming Christ. It was always a man. Always. Yet when Jesus decided that He would use His disciples, He didn't go pick the horses. He didn't go pick the mules. He didn't go pick the dogs. He chose men. These were hand-picked and selected men by God. He went through and He said, "I'll take you and you and you." Not you. I don't think I'll take you, but I'll take you. You, the king. No, I don't want you. I want the man that works for you, the tax collector. I'll take him. You two, you that are fishing. No, not your father. Just you two. Come. I want you. And in the choosing of these men, God chose a man that was bold as a lion. Maybe a little too bold at times for his own good. He chose the man that we know as Peter. Simon. And as He chose Peter, Jesus had a purpose. He had a plan. He knew what He would do with Peter. He knew that Peter was going to be a vessel that was used by God. Yet on the way to Peter's success, He also knew that Peter would fail. I'm going somewhere this morning. Just give me a little bit of time. He also knew that Peter would fail. He knew that Judas would betray Him. And yet He picked these two men. Hand-picked. Hand-selected. Hand-chosen by God. If men would look at this story and you would read the life of Peter and you would leave out Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1 and some of the chapters at the end of Mark and Luke and Matthew, if you could leave out those sections of the story, you would look at Peter and say it's highly unlikely that this man will ever be used of God. I don't think that Jesus knew what He was doing when He chose Peter. He doesn't have any special ability, any special talent. And look what He did. even though he sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the teachings of Jesus and heard the great words. And I believe it was Peter that Jesus said, "Wilt thou go also?" And he said, "Lord, where shall I go? For thou hast the words of life. Where can I go?" He said, "Lord, you're not going to die." The same Peter that said, "Lord, I'll never betray you. I'll never depart from your presence. I'll always be the one that stands beside you throughout the trial of life." This Peter stood at the fire as a young girl, a handmaiden, said, "Aren't you one of them?" "I never knew him." "What, your actions, your speech, the way you carry yourself, you walk like Jesus. You seem to talk like Jesus. I see the same compassion in your eyes that I saw when Jesus looked at people sometimes. I see that in your eyes. Are you sure that you're not one of them?" And Peter cursed and said, "I know him not. I don't know who he is. He's just a man. He's just a dog. Let him be killed. He's nothing to me. Nothing." Peter watched us as they hung Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. Peter watched as they beat him. They plucked his beard. He watched as Jesus staggered up the hill with the cross of death upon his shoulder. He listened and heard the crowd jeer and say, "If you're the King of the Jews, if you're the Son of God that you declare to be, why don't you come off the cross and save us and yourself?" Peter heard these words. Peter saw Jesus' mother Mary as she knelt at the foot of the cross and wept tears and said, "If there was ever a need for my son to have a friend, it's now." Where's Peter? Where is Peter? Peter's off somewhere in the shadows. He has denied Christ. And yet something in the heart of Peter begins to stir as he sees his beloved on the cross. Something in the heart of Peter begins to break. He says, I betrayed him. I said I never knew him. I denied him. I said that I was not his friend. You did so much for me. I was a lowly fisherman. But in the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I saw the sick healed. And now, this man who took me from a fisherman and gave me a ministry, I denied him in the hour of his need. Now Peter stands heartbroken and says, "What can I do to regain all that I have lost?" Surely Peter played back every conversation that he had ever had with Jesus. He could recall every sermon that he heard Jesus preach. He could remember every miracle that he saw worked at the hands of God. Surely when he laid down at night, he could remember breaking the bread and breaking the bread and taking it from the hands of Jesus and passing it out. Surely he remembered as he gathered 12 baskets full of fragments, and these things begin to haunt the mind of Peter. Surely he remembered as the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and he remembered as Jesus with love and compassion said, "Who touched me?" Peter could remember every work of God. He remembered as 10 lepers came to Jesus and Jesus said, "You're clean, you can go your way." Surely Peter was there when the one leper came back and Jesus made him whole. Peter could remember the things that God had done. But now Peter is outside the camp. I'll never, ever be able to experience those kinds of works again. Those kinds of miracles. The kind of anointing that I felt when I stood near Jesus. I feel the sweet Holy Ghost here this morning. Hallelujah. I'll never know the touch of God like I once knew it. Oh, if only I would have stayed awake and prayed while Jesus was in Gethsemane. If only I would have listened and learned the prayer that He told us to pray and followed the pattern of prayer that He set forth for us, and I would have stayed awake when He needed me the most. Maybe I would have had the strength to say, "Yes, I'm one of them. That's Jesus, my Master." But instead of praying, I was sleeping. And instead of being able to rely upon a sword of the Spirit to defend my Master, I pulled a sword out. And surely maybe Peter was aiming for his head. But because he'd been sleeping, his vision was a little blurry. He just got his ear. Maybe I could have stopped him if I'd have been awake. I could have fought better. I could have watched and warned Jesus that they were coming. And he could have fled like he'd done some times before. But not this time. I was asleep. I failed him. I failed him. What can I do? And all of a sudden, Peter hears a sound. "Peter, Peter, 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 you gotta come. They've taken the body of Jesus. Please come, Peter. I don't know what they did with him. We put him in the tomb 3 days ago. But we went to look and he's not there and we don't know what to do, Peter. Won't you come?" And Peter jumps up and says, Oh my, I betrayed him. I can't let him take his body. I denied him. I can't let him have his body." And he runs to the tomb and he sees that Jesus is gone. And in a state of emotion, he says, "I don't know what to do." That same day, Jesus appeared to Mary and he appeared to her and made himself known. She said, "Rabbi." We read of how that the other disciples appeared, but this one verse that I read to you says, "And he appeared unto Simon also." You see, when Peter had failed God, he had been at the point of desperation. He had not lived like he should have lived, yet God appeared to him in his hour of need. I want you to know this morning, I feel like I'm preaching to someone that feels like they've wrecked their life, they've ruined their life, there is no hope. Hey, I'm telling you, God still wants you. You may have failed God. You may have denied His ways. But in your hour of desperation, God will appear to you and make Himself known. He could have left Peter standing outside. He could have left Peter outside in the shadows. But no, He appeared unto him. He appeared unto him and said, "Peter, I want you to be my disciple." You see, God had a plan for Peter. If Jesus would have never appeared to Peter, we would not read in Acts chapter 2 how that Peter stood up and preached to the multitudes and they were saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants you. God will always use a man. You may feel like you're at the end of your rope. Your life is laid open by sin. Your life is laid open by wounds. Your life is laid open by bitterness. Your life is hurt. Your life is wrecked and your life is at the end of its beginning. It's over. You feel like I can't go on. I can't seem to feel the touch of God like I used to feel. I can't seem to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost speak as He used to speak to me. It's been a long time since I've been lost in the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning that if God can use Peter to preach to the multitudes, God still cares about you and wants to appear to you, wants to make Himself known to you, desires to touch you with His anointing, desires to fill you with His Holy Ghost, desires to give you a ministry that will reach the captive soul. God wants you. If God wants you, you'll come. If God wants you, I said you'll come. I feel like somebody's been beaten around the bush with God. Been playing a little game. But if God, if you could fight God, He wouldn't be God. You hear me this morning? Oh, you'll come. You may come with one eye. You may come with one arm. You may come on a cot. But when God wants you, you will come. You will come. Hallelujah. I don't think I missed it this morning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning that the enemy would love nothing more than to see your life brought to such a point of desperation that you cannot get up in yourself, just like Peter was, and he would have you to believe that you will stay there for the rest of your life. You'll never again be used by God. You'll never again be anointed by the Holy Ghost because the mistake you made is too great. There is a reproach upon your life, but the Lord can remove the reproach and anoint you as you have never been anointed. I'm telling you, God wants you. God still wants you. God still wants you. God doesn't throw things on the trash pile. God restores the broken dreams of man. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be in this place this morning, sick, needing the touch of God. You may be in this place, your marriage is falling apart. You may be in this place and roots of bitterness have gripped your heart and you may feel like you cannot get them out. But I'm telling you, God wants to pay you a visit this morning. God wants to pay you a visit. I'm talking about a visit that's more important than roast beef and mashed potatoes. I'm talking about a visit that uplifts the heart, delivers the soul, and loosens the shackles of sin. God still wants you. There's no time to play games with God. I'm fixing to close. In John chapter 4, Jesus went to a woman at the well of Samaria. And she was in need. Yes, she was. Her life was wrecked. Her life was ruined. Her life was broken. She had had five husbands. She lived now with the sixth man. And she had no hope. And when you read this story, the thing that you think about is that her need brought Jesus to her. And yes, it did. But do you know this morning that God had a need? When that woman came to the well the first Jesus said unto her was, "Give me to drink. Give me to drink." Jesus was surrounded constantly by scribes and Pharisees and lawyers that were constantly shooting questions and terminology and questions about the law at him, and he was tired of the mess. He said, "I need to go to Samaria. And I need to see this woman because she has something in her that I want to use. That I need." Now don't get me wrong. If you don't come, God can do anything. He didn't need this woman to give him water to drink. He could have looked at the water and said, "Come up," and got himself something to drink. But God wants a man. He wants a woman that he can use. As he spoke to this woman, she was bitter. Don't tell me you don't have five husbands, lose five relationships, and be in the sixth one, and somewhere along the line, your heart is not bitter. Your heart is not hardened. But when Jesus spoke to her, he pointed out her sin, and he said, "Look!" She didn't like that. I mean, she tried to change the subject. She said, "Look, we worship. Some say we worship in Mount Gerizim. Some say worship in the temple. Where do you say we worship?" But Jesus pointed her right back on track. Said, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me to give you a drink." You see, in essence, what he was saying is, if you let me clean out your waters and put my water in you, when I want to drink, when I want to use you, I will use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened when that woman left that well that day? She left her water pot. She left behind those broken marriages. She left behind the feelings of bitterness. She left behind the feelings of pain. She left behind the failures. She left behind the past. And she went and did a work for God because she had taken a drink, and now she was giving him a drink. I want you to know this morning that you may have a past of failures, but what you need to do is leave your water pot and start giving God a drink. Let him clean out your wells that he might use you, because God still wants you. Stand to your feet this morning. God wants you. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your mother, not your daddy. God wants you. Oh, yes, He does. He wants to anoint you like you've never been anointed. He wants to use you like you've never been used. He wants to change you and shape you like you've never been changed and shaped in your life. Do you know what you need to do? You need to break the pot. You need to break the pot. You've lived in fear. You've lived in failure. You've lived in the past long enough. And I know this kind of preaching isn't popular, because you know what? We don't like to admit when we need help, because we're holiness. But we're all human. And some of us
need to break the pot and leave behind a past of failure and allow God to clean out a well of bitterness, a well of hatred, a well of strife, a well of denial, a well of compromise, a well of worldliness. And let the power of the Holy Ghost fall fresh on us once again. Who's to say which one of you might be like Peter and stand and point at the multitudes and say the same Jesus which you crucified is now risen again and is coming for those that believe? Who is to tell what God can do with you? God still needs you. God still wants you. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed across this congregation this morning, I feel like there are some in this building this morning that you've denied the help that Christ has wanted to give you for so long. You feel those feelings of bitterness. You feel those feelings of pain. You feel those feelings of doubt and fear and unbelief. God still wants to use you. If this message this morning has described the way that you felt, why don't you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I still want to be used. I still want to be used. I still want to be anointed. I still want to be touched by the power of God. I still want to be a vessel that breaks the yokes of sin." Hallelujah. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? Hallelujah. Peter, I still want you. Peter, I still need you. Peter, I still gotta have you. Peter, I still have a touch of God for you. I still have an anointing for you. I still have a work for you. Peter, I still need you. Won't you come? Won't you come?